One very important point about the Haggadah, about the night of the Seder and the Haggadah, Rabbein Azal speaks about this in chapter 20 in Likutei Moran, in one of the later paragraphs, paragraph 10, paragraph Yud. Rabbein Azal there touches on the topic of Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he speaks about when the Jews are getting close to entering Eretz Yisrael and they want to pass through the land of Edom to go in a direct path to Eretz Yisrael. And they ask for permission, and Edom refuses. And Edom comes out with sword to say, you dare try to enter into our boundary, we'll kill you. So the Torah says there that the Jewish messengers said, Ato yodato es hatlo asher matzosnu. You know all the incredible difficulties and struggles that we went through. V'yordo avoseinu Mitzrayim, our forefathers went down to Egypt. So Rabbein Azal explains, they say, Ato yodato, you know, because all punishments come as a result of Edoim. Ki kol ha'onshim al yodoy. All punishments and suffering that the Jewish people endure are coming from Edoim. Ubifrat golus Mitzrayim, especially the exile in Egypt, shohoyo al pegam habris kayadua, which was because of pegam habris, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. We've mentioned this periodically, that the Zohar Kodesh, the Arizal explain, that as a result of Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, when they did that, there were many different things going on. And one of the mistakes that was made at the time was, they were created on Friday, on the sixth day of creation. Had Adam and Chava waited till Shabbos in order to mate, then everything would have been perfect. Because they didn't, because they were together on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, that was considered an aspect of Pegama Bris on their part. They're not waiting. Just like we know, according to the Torah, a couple are supposed to wait until the woman is clean. All different aspects of waiting until the nighttime, etc. This not waiting was an aspect of Pegama Bris. In addition to that, especially, what after the Eitz Hadas, and after Hashem said all the curses that Hashem issued, the 39 curses, and the struggle for Parnosa, and women are going to have to struggle in childbirth, Be'etzev Tel Dibonim, at that point it's brought that Adam HaRishon made a decision to separate from his wife for a period of 130 years. And as a result of that, during that period of time, because he was alone, it's brought that the forces of Tumah, the Shadim and the Ruchais, caused him to commit Pegama Bris, to waste seed, Rahman al-Islam. And this is the major factor that required the Jewish nation going down to Mitzrayim and being pure, going through major purification through the suffering of Mitzrayim in order to correct that Pegama Bris. So Rabbein Azal continues, and we know that a result of Pegama Bris, that brings the sword against us. As the Pasuk says, Cherev Noikemes Nekam Bris, and Esav is all about the sword. So then it says there that the Egyptians made us suffer, we cried out to Hashem, and Hashem Vayishlach Malach, and Hashem sent an angel. And the Gemara says that's Moshe Rabbeinu, who took us out of Egypt. Why Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu represents Das, and Pegama Bris is what destroys the Das. The Zohar HaKadosh says the effects of Pegama Bris reach all the way up to the brain, because that's where the seed originates from. As it says, when it speaks about Adam and Chava uniting, it says, Vayeda Adam es Chava Ishtoi, that the union between husband and wife is referred to as Das. So now Rabbein Azal says, V'hakoil humo'oyer hadas. When a person speaks out loud, when a person speaks loud or sings, that awakens the mind. As the Gemara says, Hakoil mo'oyer hakavona. That koil arouses concentration. When a person is davening and they're saying the words quietly, it's much easier to get distracted than if the person is saying the words where they can hear what they're saying. That helps concentration. That's why, especially when it comes to Kriya Shema, which is the most important tefillah midoraisa, it's written, Hashmea la'oz necham asher, your ears must hear the words that you're saying. So that's why it says, Vanitzak al Hashem. We screamed to Hashem. Vayishma es koileinu, and Hashem heard our screams. And Hashem sent Moshe Rabbeinu the Das. So Rabbeinu Zal says there, Ubishvil ze oimrim es hahagodo bekoil ram. And this is also the reason why at the Seder, we recite the Haggadah out loud. The Haggadah is not supposed to be said quietly, put one leg over the other, even though it's Zman Cheruseinu. When we're reciting, this is something that Rav Rosenfeld stressed tremendously, that the person leading the Seder has a pillow, and the others have pillows, has seba. That's only during the matzah, when we're eating the matzah, when we're drinking the wine, or when we're having the meal. When the person is making a bracha, when a person is reciting the bracha on the matzah or on the wine or on anything, or when a person is saying words of Torah or words of tefillah, then we're not reclining at all, chas v'shalom. We're sitting with respect, tremendous respect. So when it comes to the Haggadah, Rabbeinu Zal says, ubishvil ze oimrim es hahagodah bekol rom. This is why the Haggadah must be recited out loud. Ki hageula choyso al yidei koil. Because the redemption, what got us out of Egypt, was the fact that Hashem heard our voices. Bibchinas, as it says clearly, vayishma es koileinu. Hashem heard our koil. We made ourselves heard. Ubishvil ze nikras b'shem Haggadah. And this is why it's called Haggadah. Here again, we spoke in the previous year, we mentioned why this meal is called a Seder. Very strange kind of name. We gave a whole beautiful explanation for that. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains why this book is called Haggadah. L'hoyrois al tikkun habris. It's showing that reciting this book on that night of the Seder, when we recite the Seder, this elevates us and this corrects any sins we might have committed in Tikkun HaBris. Bebechinas, as it says in Parshas Dvorim, I believe in Parshas Dvorim of Eschanan, Vayaged lochem es brisoi. Vayaged lochem es brisoi. Vayaged Haggadah and Bris. That reciting the Haggadah out loud is Tikkun HaBris. And then Rabbeinu Zal continues, and one of the major mitzvahs at the Seder is wine, ve'ikar hamitzvah beyayin, lohoyrois al tikkun hadas, showing that what we're trying to correct in the celebration of Pesach, and especially at the Seder night, we're trying to correct the pegam hadas. Remember, this all began when Adam and Chava were poigim in the Eitz Hadas. It was Pigam in Das and Pigam Abris. We're trying to correct this through the mitzvahs that we're doing on the night of the Seder. And wine, when it's drunk properly, Bigdusha, is Tikkun Hadas. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, page 70, Bechamra Verechoni Pikchin, that wine and smelling good spices expand a person's consciousness. It makes a person Pikeach. Remember, by the Eitz Hadas, it says, Vatipokachno Eine Shnehem. Their eyes were opened in a negative way, in a destructive way, by tasting from the wrong type of Das. And we're correcting this at the night of the Seder by drinking the wine Bigdusha. And wine is called Tiroish. The Gemara says, Zocho Naseroish. If a person is Zoche to drink wine properly, it expands the roish, it expands the thinking, the consciousness. And this is why my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld stressed what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that at the Seder, men and boys over the age of Bar Mitzvah should drink wine, not grape juice, yayin. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara, which says, Rebbe Yehuda b'Rebbe Eloi, who is one of the greatest rabbis of the Gemara. The Gemara says, whenever it says chosid in the Gemara, it's referring to Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi, a giant of giants. He's buried in between Tzfas and Miron, a major, major place there, the burial place of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, the Gemara says that he couldn't handle drinking wine. And as a result of drinking the four cups at the night of the Seder, he had to have his head bandaged from then till Shavuos. And the following year, he drank wine again. So this is one of those instances where a man should try to strengthen himself and to be up to par. Now, there are shiurim. A person doesn't have to drink a 12-ounce cup. There are certain shiurim that are specified. I remember Rav Rosenfeld said, like, lechumra, a 5-ounce cup is a chumra revius. And for most of the cups, you only have to drink a majority, you know, a little, 60%, that amount, that kind of amount. So it's only the final cup, the last cup that you're supposed to complete, you know, finish the whole thing to make the ala gefen. But whereas women, for women, definitely it is okay to drink grape juice. It should be zeicha by performing the mitzvahs, these mitzvahs. It's written about Rav Nosson Zal that when he would write, when he would be reciting the Haggadah, he was in such hislavus that he couldn't face the people. He had to face the wall. People shouldn't look at his face because it was such fire. And it's brought that one time when he was reciting the Haggadah and he came to the part where it says, Ves Hamoira Haggadol Zu Gilui Hashchina, he fainted. He fainted at those words and he had to be revived. He had to be brought back, you know, such an incredible hislavus. So the Seder night is supposed to be a night of hislavus. A person is supposed to say the Haggadah with passion. If a person understands it, today, Baruch Hashem, there are good translations, there are wonderful commentaries. A person should try to spend quality time before the Haggadah, before the Seder night, to prepare a little bit. But to make sure that it's said with passion, with enthusiasm, because this is an incredible, incredible tikkun. Why the difference between men and women regarding drinking wine? Because the Gemara makes it clear in many places that women and wine is not a good mix, not a healthy mix. Women are much more noshim daiton kalois. It's much easier for them to reach a state of lightheadedness as a result of wine than for women. Question being asked, could we mix grape juice and wine? It's preferred not to. But today, Baruch Hashem, there's Kalil. Several of the kosher wine companies produce a wine that's 3% alcohol, 3.5%, 4% alcohol, which is about half or a third of what standard wine is. And that kind of wine is usually pretty easy to get through, you know, the four cups. It's extremely important not to mix, not to change wines in middle of a meal, because then you run into a shaila of the bracha, of whether you have to make a bracha hatoiv ha-meitiv, and the laws there are very complicated. There are many people who take this lightly, that on Friday night or Yontif, they put out 3 or 4 bottles of wine, and they use one kind of wine for Kiddush, and then another wine for during the meal, and they say, this is definitely a better wine, so I can make the bracha toiv ha-meitiv. But there are different factors that define whether you're what the Torah considers a better wine, a less good wine, if it was on the table before, if you had it in mind when you were starting the meal. So my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld used to say to try to avoid those shilas, and certainly on the Seder night, to try not to change, to prepare before the Seder whatever you want to use, and to stick to that throughout.